Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, welcome everybody to the first podcast of the Bruce Bochy's on Twitter era, which is a big deal, and we'll see how long it lasts. This might be the only podcast of the Bruce Bochy's on Twitter era.
He tweets after a win. I don't believe he tweeted after
a
loss.
He did not tweet after a loss. Yeah. Also, his tweet last night, I didn't tweet this or write it, but I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
Very suspiciously close to my tweet after the game. So, you guys can go back and look.
But wait, you're tweeting for Bochy?
I'm the
ghostwriter. You're the one.
I got a few of those last night from people. But he is, it was actually funny. We talked to him today. I asked him, why? Why are you on Twitter? You're a manager in your 60s. There's nothing good that can come of this. And he did say he will not be on Twitter very often. I don't think he's actually tweeting. Hate to break that to people with his fingers.
Yeah.
But he said he will use it to promote his charity work. So that is the main reason he's going to use it. You can continue to yell at me, you can yell at Ahmed when you don't like the lineup, when you don't like how the Giants are playing.
But now you have the option of yelling at
Bochy. You have the option. He might not see it. He probably won't see it, but it's out there.
Tim Flannery says he'll give it up after 2 weeks. He'll delete his account.
Yeah, we'll see. This might not last very long. Anyway, the podcast has lasted long. This is, I think, number 71.
And, wow.
One thing we've talked about is occasionally you and I just talking baseball
just
more
riff.
Than yeah, just there's a lot of players down there, but it's a long season and only so many times we can go to those guys. If you missed it, Tyler Beattie and Derek Holland were on recently, but we chose a good time. The Giants lost 15-2 today, so we podcasted after that instead of after something better. But they have been playing better of late, and I think this is probably more of who they are. I mean, there are still some issues here. That's, for whatever reason, this is a team that no matter what the personnel is, they don't hit with runners in scoring position. That was the problem last year. That was a problem the year before. They got Longoria, McCutcheon, Jackson. It's still an issue, but they're hitting more home runs. Mack Williamson is real. You're into the Mack Williamson facts.
Yeah.
Which has been a big part of the last week. The fun one for me, 3 of the 4 hardest hit homers this year for the Giants have come from a guy who's been here for 5 days.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, I mean, he, and we got a lot of people at the end of, I mean, Max always had his fans, and why wouldn't he? You know, he's a younger guy, I mean, not that young, but 27-year-old guy who's got pop, and this team certainly needs power, and he's got speed, and he's got all the tools to make you think, man, this guy could be something, you know, well above average outfielder. Yeah, I think 464 feet is the longest opposite field home run that StatCast has tracked since 2015. So that's impressive.
Yes.
I mean, that's including Giancarlo Stanton and everyone else. I mean, including righties and lefties. And so he's got a skill. I mean, that you just
also,
don't...
Also, 464 feet night game at AT&T Park, and
correct.
It was cold.
Right.
So this
right.
isn't hitting one out in Miami when it's 87.
So you just don't fluke your way into that. You know, it's like Aroldis Chapman doesn't fluke his way into throwing 100 miles an hour. You just can't all of a sudden do that one time, and then you're like, oh, that just happened by luck. No, there's a skill here. Can he keep it up, and is there a hole in the swing? I mean, it's funny. You talked to Rich Rilly about it. He said, yeah, everyone has a hole in their swing. It's just a matter of hitting mistakes, and that's what Mac has been able to take the pitches that he can hit and hit him. This is exciting because I think we're going to get to see him, a run of him. We didn't see him in the day game against the Nationals because of the neck stiffness, but it's fun that he's going to get some run here, and he's got a long leash for probably the first time in his career.
I think it's cool, too, because this is not – it doesn't have to be a fluke. Like, he based his swing, and the guy who made the changes is in Los Angeles. That is based on Justin Turner, who did a similar thing later in his career and turned into an all-star, turned into the Dodgers' best hitter. I'm not saying Max is going to get there or get anywhere close to there, but this doesn't have to just be a small sample size. It doesn't have to be something where eventually they figure him out, because guys have done this, and Grant Brisby writes this all the time. Like, we see, how come the Giants don't have a Chris Taylor? They don't have a Justin Turner. Like, these reclamation stories that you see elsewhere, they've had those. They had Vogelsong, they had Blanco, but they haven't really had as many of the guys who are in Max's situation, where maybe you made these changes, or at least haven't had it recently. I mean, this run of success that they've had that's kind of come to an end, they've been waiting for whether it's Parker or Mac or somebody to make an adjustment, and I think we've seen Chris Stratton do that a little bit, although it's probably a little bit different. It's mostly the same stuff. I think for him, it's just getting comfortable learning how to pitch. But with Mac, I mean, he made some real changes. He lifted his leg lift there. He lowered his hands. He's trying to keep the bat in the zone a little bit longer. And you see it. I mean, the curveball he hit, that was one where you kind of see the slow motion replay. He's waiting and waiting and waiting, and the bat's still in the zone. It's still in the zone. And he's strong enough that when he gets to it, it's right. A line drive out to center field.
It'll be interesting when they start pitching him inside, because talking to a few people, they think he's still got maybe a problem. He will have a problem because it's still a long stride. You know, yeah. You look at Justin Turner. Justin Turner's really short and compact and doesn't have that big stride. Mac still got a pretty long stride when
he's
gets
through
the ball.
He's also closer to the plate than Mac.
That's true.
He's right on the
he's
plate.
Like on it.
Yeah.
He's like in the strike zone. So yeah, but I mean, I think he can, you know, he's an athlete enough to be able to make those adjustments and make tweaks if they're pitching him differently. And so I'm pumped to see it, and it really does kind of, you wrote about the elephant in the room with the emerging outfielders by the
Giants.
We're
going to get to that, because I asked people on Twitter for their questions, and now there are quite a few.
Oh,
look at this. It's going to be a long podcast.
Okay.
The first one from Ken S., where does Pence fit after the 10-day DL stint? Who goes down when he comes back?
There's the elephant.
There's the elephant. So Pence will be ready soon. I think the rehab assignment's going to be longer than it otherwise would be if he were still the starter. My position on this is always these things somehow work themselves out. And this is what I wrote last night, in that you saw Mac almost like get concussed or something worse. I mean, it was and then at the same time you see him hit a home run. So these things work themselves out one way or the other, sometimes in an unfortunate way. I think by the time Pence comes out, they might need another outfielder just in some respect. But I do think it's difficult for me, because I think you have to play Mac every day or close to every day, unless this is proven to be
you have
to run him out there for a couple months and give him a legitimate shot.
You have to.
Neither one of them plays center field. Pence, I don't think they're ever going to put in right field again. And the two guys, I mean, as much heat as Gorky Hernandez takes, and a lot of people are upset about Gregor Blanco now, I mean, they've been fine. They're doing what they're asked to do. And
I mean,
also
they're perfect fourth and fifth outfielders.
And Gorky's, Bruce Bochy also wants to use him as a guy. You know, they have some concerns about Max's defense. It's gotten better, but there are some concerns there late in games. So I think just that's Bruce Bochy's feeling. I mean, he would like the ability to put Gorky's out there after Mac hits in the seventh, maybe. And one other thing about Gorky's is, if you have Blanco on the bench still, and you know Gorky's is in there, and then you all of a sudden you're down by a run, you can pinch it for him with Pablo. I don't think he would take that personally, and then get Blanco back out there. So they do like that flexibility. It's hard to picture McCutchen, Pence, and Williamson on the roster at the same time for too long.
And then we were talking about it as well. You look at AAA Austin Slater. He was out for a little while with a dental problem,
tooth issue.
Which
seems to be a running problem here. Yeah. Andrew Suzak had that too a few years ago in spring training.
But he's playing well, and he's can play all three outfield positions. Maybe not as much center field lately as he has in the past, but he has done that in the past. And so, yeah, what's the best option for this team? I don't know. You know, you're right. It may work itself out, or you may have to make a tough decision and have a ceremony and say goodbye to a long time Giant.
Yeah, it's going to be, and I think because of what Pence means, it's going to be a tough one, and we'll see. It's going to be awkward, I think, at some point. I'm going to go to Instagram, because somebody responded to my tweet with an Instagram. By the way, I'm Pavlovich NBCS. You are
on Instagram?
Yes.
I am Ahmed_NBC.
Okay. We're all about Instagram now.
Yeah, so, I know.
Follow us there. It's fun. Actually, it is a lot of fun.
I like it, yeah.
A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, especially when we're on the road. I think it's fun to go places maybe I'm not supposed to be. And
it's visual.
Photos.
I like
it
you Instagrammed the the bullpen cart bullpen in Arizona.
The relief pitcher helmets.
Yeah, and the Andrew McCutcheon, the autographed ball.
Yeah, that was
good.
That was
I like those.
So go check that out. Anyway, Brian Sports asks, it's basically Duggar and Austin Jackson. Should we talk about that? So I think yes. And that to me is another tough one because I did think they thought Jackson would have a role no matter what. Yeah. And now you look at it, and if Duggar starts to play well and they move him up there, it does become Jackson versus Gorkys versus Blanco. At least from what I've seen early on, it's pretty clear to me that the other two guys are more flexible. Defensively, Jackson's supposed to be a much better hitter, but we haven't seen it.
Hasn't hit lefties. I mean, yeah, that's the problem.
Really, there's only a one-year sample of him being great against them, I think, or at least the last year. So that's another awkward one.
Yeah. Where are they financially with him? Because isn't there an option for another year? I don't know.
I think so. I need a laptop when we do these.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to walk away. That's the problem. You don't want to walk away from money. You know, you saw Hunter Pence last year, final 50 games, hit .290 with an .800 OPS. So it's like if there is any little bit of value for guys you're paying money, I mean, we've had the conversations about Sam Dyson, who you owed $4 million to, that's going to get a longer leash. And now look at him, and now he's pitching in some high-leverage spots for him, and you didn't have to just flush that money down the toilet. But, yeah, it does make the decisions more difficult.
The problem is they anticipated Duggar being up here at some point and Jackson being a guy who could play a lot of left field with Pence. And now you potentially have Duggar and Mac being guys who you look at the second half and maybe should be the guys playing. And then you have these veterans. So it gets a little squirrely there.
I mean, you have a surplus that maybe you got to be creative with. I mean, maybe there are other needs that you can shore up and move some pieces around. You know, if you don't have a spot or if you don't feel like you can cut ties with some of your guys, maybe an Austin Slater is a trade candidate over a make the team candidate.
A lot of this depends where they are too.
Yeah,
you know, it's easier to cut veterans if you're building towards the future. The next one from Joe was a very complicated Twitter handle. What is wrong with Crawford and McCutcheon both hitting around 200? I think the McCutcheon thing is fascinating because I think it's gone under the radar because he had two walk-offs on the first homestand, including a home run that was very dramatic and a big deal. He has not really been the guy we've seen, but I do think historically he's a little bit of a slow starter. And also just digging into the data a little bit more, I mean, he's hitting the ball hard. The exit velocity is good. Last I checked, Mark Simon does that great work on Twitter with hard hit balls, and I think he was 18th in the league in terms of hard hit rate. So
I mean, you see it, that pull side. Yeah. I mean, even if he hits the ball on the ground, he's hitting it hard.
I don't worry as much. Crawford, you know, had a slow start to the spring. I mean, last year was down a little bit. That's the one to me that's interesting going forward because we saw him today. It's a double off Max Scherzer. But it is, at some point, some of the guys in that room are going to start to age a little bit. And it's always interesting for me early in the season with some of these guys. Felt the same way about Longoria 2 weeks ago. Is it a slow start or is this guy just getting up there? So that's the one I think worth watching. But still defensively very good, and him and Panic up the middle are a huge deal. And if it's hitting eighth, it's not as big a problem.
That's the good thing about his value defensively. I mean, three gold gloves in a row for Crawford is that even if he, we've seen it before, even if you're a, 200 hitter with not much power, if you can take outs away on the defensive side, you can live with that. I mean, the worry was that he would lose a step, in the field, and you look at StatCast sprint speeds, he's definitely not a fast guy. He's right there with Joe Panic and maybe a little below him, and last year some of the numbers indicated he took a step back in speed, so that would be the bigger worry. I mean, the fact that he's not hitting is a bummer because we've seen him have some pretty good offensive years and have a lot of value with the bat and the glove, but if he doesn't produce value with the glove, then you really start to worry.
Yeah, which is still there, so it's fine. We go to Sirius at Sirius SFG Fans. He's getting deep. He said, how far does this meltdown go before SF Giants management blows the team up? Dude, they lost one game. You really took that 15-2.
No, but if they lose, 20-2 to in the next game, then maybe.
I'll give them credit. That's a big picture one, and I do think that's a conversation you and I may sit here in the same spot and have in June or July, and that's where you start talking about. I mean, frankly, that's where you start talking about Madison Bumgarner, which we've talked about on this podcast before. We've talked about on the show, I think, on the pregame show at times and over the offseason. And That to me is, it's pretty cut and dry. At some point, do you want to have that conversation? And I think even within the organization, there are people who feel differently. There are people who feel very strongly that that will never happen. There are people who feel very strongly that the only way to avoid this being like a 3-year last place collapse is to at some point trade Bumgarner for 5 guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we have talked about that a little bit. That's interesting. There's so many elements to that, and if you feel like you're definitely going to be able to resign him is one big part of it. Does Madison Bumgarner want to stay here regardless of anything? I mean, there's so many factors that you have to deal with that, but I do get the feeling that if they're anywhere close, I mean, they put all their chips in knowing that they had a 98 loss season last year and knowing that, you know, the odds weren't good of them making a run, but they wanted to make one more run at it. So I feel like if the trade deadline comes and they're anywhere sniffing a wild card spot, they're not going to trade. I think they're going to go for it.
And that's the scary situation a little bit. If you're like 4 games out and then you end up winning 82 games and you didn't have a chance to get any prospects.
Well, we saw last year too. I mean, Verlander got traded. He was a little bit different situation. He did get traded in August. So
some of these guys will clear.
They might be able to push it back. And even if, you know, Madison wouldn't clear, you know, the team that ever claimed him, you can work out a deal there. And there's just some different options they're going to have.
Quayta Wood, Samardzija Wood.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about that today, given what happened.
Yeah.
Who else we got here? We got Mike, who said, why is the role of closer not fluid? Seems that the job could go to the man who is most effective in recent days or weeks. I think that's maybe where this is all headed eventually, just in baseball in general. But it's just old school. Managers like to have that guy that they know is pitching the ninth. The players like to have that situation. They like to know when they're just weird about warming up and routines. And there's not, you know, not everybody can do what George Contos did, which is warm up 4 times a game and maybe not get in, or maybe pitch in the 6th or maybe pitch in the 13th. So it's just an old school way of doing things.
Yeah, and every baseball player has the routine. I mean, it's a sport of routine. And I think Mark Melancon would say that he would really start getting ramped up in the 7th inning. And obviously you can't do that if you're possibly pitching in the 7th inning or 6th inning. So, yeah, I mean, it would just be take a change, and they probably could do it. It would just take some getting used to. But I think there's some value to Hunter Strickland being the guy. I think he's coveted that role, and I think you may get more out of him if you say to him, you are that guy. For the first time in your career, yeah, this is you. You're the guy. He's got, what, 5 saves now, career high?
He's been good.
He's been very good. So, you know, for what you may lose in having the flexibility, which not to say they still couldn't do it from a game-to-game basis, but I think you gain a little bit in a guy being proud. And I think even Tony Watson's proud that he's the guy that locks it down in the inning before the ninth. I think he got some pride in the roles, and I think there's some value in that too.
And I also think if you have that guy who can pitch the ninth, especially I was thinking about this after watching Dyson, and he's been better. I'm not ready to jump back on board yet, but he's been better. The fastball's back up to 96 at times. And Will Smith will be back on May 1st. So you kind of look at it and go, you know, maybe there's more flexibility there if you have the ninth inning locked up. Maybe Watson can come in the 7th to face Cody Bellinger, knowing that Dyson and Smith can pitch the 8th going forward. So I think that's a big part of it. My dude, Wolfman Zach, also known as Weed Detective.
Oh.
Best Twitter handle out there.
I've seen him out there.
We've all seen him.
Yeah.
He asked 3 questions. We already answered one of them about Pence, but he said, will Mac hit the glove at some point this year? You know, I've never seen Mac. I've seen him put on, we've seen the power in games, and I've seen it in spring training. I haven't seen it as much in batting practice, just in terms of, like, ridiculousness. That's something Bumgarner does a lot. Pence at times will do it. Maybe. I think maybe when he gets comfortable up here, he'll have those sessions where he goes, oh, the last 3 or 4 BP swings here, I'm just going to try to hit it.
Unload.
As far as I can. Stanton got up there. Yeah, Stanton's hit up there.
Bounced around up there. Andres Galarraga hit one.
I've seen Bumgarner go to the concourse. But he has the power to...
I mean, it seems like it's funny. It seems like his power is up the middle, opposite way right now. I mean, I'm sure everyone can pull it and hit it a long way, but I don't know the way his swing is right now, where he generates the power from. It seems like up the middle is juiced for
maybe
him.
More of a BP situation.
Yeah.
And then his third question is: Guerin pitching his way off the team? No, because they're keeping a lot of relievers, and Corey has his ups and downs, but the ups are pretty good, and at times can be a very valuable weapon against right-handers. But certainly it hasn't been as good recently, and I think you know, today cashed in a couple of Osich's runners, and it is something where it, you know, some of these guys that I think Osich is in trouble next week when Smith comes back, given the way his thrown. But until you start getting other guys back, and until maybe Melanson's, if he's back at some point, there's just not that many. There's not that many guys at AAA kind of knocking on the door. I mean, when they needed a guy today, they called up Roberto Gomez. So I don't know that.
Well, I think they like.
Yeah, they do like him. He's been fine, and I think there's talent there. But until you have to start making a decision between a Maranta and Garen or an Osich and Johnson or things like that, I mean, that's when it becomes difficult. But I think right now there's enough room at the back end of that bullpen for guys, which we saw with Dyson when he was struggling. They said, we'll put him in there. He'll pitch the sixth inning when we're down 6-2 and try to get it back.
It's funny. It's so tough for relievers because a position player has a bad four-game stretch, five-game stretch. You're like, all right, well, they'll heat up and they'll get better. A reliever does that, has a bad week, and you're just like, well, he's got to be sent down. I mean, they just get so few opportunities, and the sample size for them is so small that every little thing is amplified. But if the stuff's not there, if it's backing up, if you see the same problems consistently cropping up, like with the Sam Dyson, where it's just not the velocity is not there, it's coming back a little bit more, then you say, okay, there is a problem here, but these guys can turn it around. I mean, what, Corey Guerin had a 1.99 ERA last year, right?
The stuff's still there. He just couldn't throw a strike today. Yeah. So we'll finish with two here. These two are not as baseball related. This one from a IPA haver. Oh, that's a good...
Ooh,
that's a good way to go through life.
Weed detective and IPA have
back to back. What happened to this podcast? He says, with the emergence of at Bruce Bochy 1, who is the next Giants player, exec, coach, etc., to join Twitter?
Oh,
that's a good question. It will never be Madison Bumgarner. I can tell you that right now. Giants player, coach. Here's how I'm going to answer this.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the exec part, / coach part, / Bruce Bochy part.
Yeah.
I believe Bruce Bochy's been on Twitter for a long time, or at the very least has had access to the beat writers.
A lurker.
Wow.
What tipped you off to that?
He just knows too much sometimes.
Of what you're tweeting, or
of what we're tweeting / reporting. I'm going to say the same for some of the team executives, and this one I know for a fact because early on in my career, after Carlos Beltran was here and then he left, the next year when he came back, I went and talked to him. I don't remember who he came back with. The Astros? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
He came back with somebody, and I went and talked to him, and he said all these things about the way negotiations went down, and I went and wrote it and tweeted it, and within 2 minutes, I got a phone call from a member of the front office who said, can we talk because we need to refute some of what he just said. So I was like, you're following me on Twitter. You're on Twitter.
We gotta find them. I know
if people out there want to dig up some
we should
accounts,
we should look who's who they're
accounts.
Following and what name they have.
That's how you do it.
The lurkers out there. It's interesting. You know who would be great on Brian Sabian? Man, get that guy on Twitter and just give him tell him the tweets aren't being read. Tell him they're not going anywhere. They're just for his own personal diary or archive. But really, have the tweets go out there and be read.
The most entertaining thing on Twitter would be if you could have his reaction, which I've seen after games, after some of these games, just the raw reaction. And I've heard it sometimes. I've seen him in the clubhouse. I've seen him after games, and he's often willing to leave a guy in this road city early on a road trip. So I'm going to finish with this one. I won't say who it is, but he'll know who he is. He said, question number one, did Alex mute or block me?
Oh.
And I know who he is.
Yeah.
And I'll tell the guy I muted him.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I have a threshold, which is very, very high, but you reach a point where there's only so much you can take. And I've told people on Twitter before, like, you get one complaint a day. So
one a day is very generous too, I feel like.
Just to certain people.
Yeah.
Who seem nice, but they just, I'm like, just don't wear us out. I don't think people realize, like, and we were telling Bochy about this today, like, and it's passion, which is great, and I appreciate everybody reading and listening, and they're into it, but I don't think people realize that it's like them multiplied by thousands, or hundreds who are very passionate.
Sure.
So if you're angry that Gorky's Hernandez is in the lineup and you tweet angrily about it three times, like, there's 50 other people doing the same thing, and I'm just sitting there going, oh my God.
Yeah.
If you hate Brandon Belt and you just want to wear him out the entire season, like, it's a long season, man.
You're
like,
right.
Every time he strikes out, and then you mysteriously disappear when he hits 5 homers in 6 games, but he'll strike out 3 times maybe on Saturday, and you come back and and you're out.
It has to be done, yeah.
You guys have to pace yourselves.
Negativity. I take negativity out of the Twitter feed. I don't get a whole lot of it, you know, and I'm not in the down and dirty like you are. I'm tweeting funniest stuff more than, you know, although your tweets are very funny as well. But I'm just, I'm not the hard reporter journalism guy. But I'm a muter. And muting is, I feel like muting is so cruel, but
I'm not a blocker, I'm a muter.
I'm not a blocker. Yeah. But muting's crueler than blocking, I feel like. Because blocking, at least they know. Muting, well, think that they have no idea that you're not reading it, but you're not even getting it.
They're just yelling into the wind.
Muting is crueler than blocking. Blocking is more like, hey, I'm being upfront with you, I just don't want to read your tweets anymore, get over it. Muting is like passive aggressive, like, I'm not going to tell you, but I'm never reading anything you write ever again.
I will unmute this individual.
Okay, good.
Just everybody keep in mind, and I love all you guys, but keep in mind, there's only so much we can take. So yeah. Pace yourselves. It's a long season. Sometimes they lose 98 games, and if you're angry in April, hell angry you're going to be in August. So, anyway, that is what we do today. I like doing the question and answer one, so we're going to do this more often. So follow, and occasionally, you can even send us a question that we can save if it's something more big picture or something specific, something behind the scenes, maybe about how I do my job or how you do your job every single day. You spend a lot of time with former Giants, so maybe some questions there.
And I would like to say, 99% of you out there are very nice on Twitter. Nice on Twitter, so keep those coming.
1% Ahmed has muted.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to finish this with this. As always, our sponsor is Wendy's, who we appreciate. I did have Wendy's in the airport, if anybody listened to the Derek Holland one.
And he had Wendy's. Did he still have the Wendy's? Did you talk to him about that or no? We got to talk to him about
that. I did have a recent podcast guest who listened to it and told me later they do love the spicy chicken sandwich. So I won't call that player out though. Although it was a good thing. But anyway, Wendy's is our sponsor. And right now, ride into Wendy's and try the Southwest Avocado Chicken Sandwich or Southwest Avocado Chicken Salad. The Southwest is coming to you, and it's only at Wendy's for a limited time at participating Wendy's. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
I love it. You have your Mountain Dew right now? You grab some Wendy's on the way home.
I have my Diet Mountain Dew, and I do have a Wendy's right by my house, so I might get that. I'm tempted.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back Friday for the Dodgers pregame show. Sean Estes and Randy Wynn, I think?
Yeah, they're both in town now.
All right. Yeah. We'll be back. Thanks, everybody.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is...
Got him.
And that's the perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.